right, good morning. Y'all doing all right? Friday morning. Y'all doing great. All right. Good. Well, we are going to look at part two of how to make godly decisions. That's what we're thinking about together. And yesterday, we looked at three prerequisites. Anybody can remember any of the prerequisites for making godly decisions? Yeah, Jesus Christ has to be at the control center of your life, right? Number two. Remember number two? Can I remember number two? You are reading it, which means you kept your notes. So that's fair. That's good. All right. You have to embrace God's objective. You have to know what it is. What is God after? And embrace that. And then third, I'll give it to you because it was a long one. I'll shorten it. You have to believe that God has given you His Word. He's spoken to you. There you go. My pen goes again. He's spoken to you through His Word, and it's enough. He's given you everything you need to know to please Him and follow Him, walk with Him. All right, so those are the three. Today, though, we're going to look at some practical steps you can take to make godly decisions. And again, this is one of the ways you can exercise, as a young person, you can exercise yourself towards godliness by learning how to make the decisions in your life in a godly way. And so these are not steps that you have to take. You know, if you don't do every one of these steps, then you're in sin or something. But these are biblical steps that I think can be really helpful for you. So let me begin by prayer. And then after we pray, we're going to read the verse together, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, and which is kind of the core that if you don't take anything else away from my two sessions, take those two verses away. Let those two verses shape your thinking about decision-making in life. So let me pray. Father, we come again this morning to ask for your help. Clarify, clear our minds, give us strength to be able to think together about your word and about decision-making. And teach us, Lord, teach us more, better, how to do life and make decisions in your presence, in a way that pleases you. Enable us to learn how to discern your will. We ask you for that because we want to walk in a manner pleasing to you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, I was thinking about maybe trying to do this by heart, but I'll put it on the screen, but later in the session, you're going to have to do this without looking, okay? So let's do it together. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. Now these verses are at the heart of godly decision making. Godly decision making is based on a heart of trust in the Lord. And what we're going to be looking at here, as we look at some of these steps, and you have your handouts, you're going to see what we're walking through. These steps are simply an expression. If you follow these steps, if you do these steps, they are expressing a desire to trust in the Lord. They are expressing a desire not to lean to your own understanding. They're expressing a desire to acknowledge Him in all your ways. Okay, so as we look at these steps, it's really living out these two verses. Step number one, here we go. Submit your will to the will of God. Submit your will to the will of God. Now, yesterday we talked about enthroning Jesus as the master of your life. And so in a sense, we talked about this. There has to be a point in your life where you get on your knees, in a sense, metaphorically or literally, and you say, I'm done controlling my life, ruling my life. Lord Jesus, you take over. I receive you. I receive you into my life. I receive the gift of yourself, eternal life, salvation, which is you. But I want to make it very, very clear. That's not just something you do at one point in time and then off you go. That's something you come back to again and again and again. again and again and again, you have to resubmit your life to Jesus. Resubmit your life to Jesus. Resubmit your life. Situations are going to come into your life. Circumstances are going to come up into your life, and you're going to have to bow before the Lord and say, "Your will be done." Every time we come to a new crossroads, we need to make sure our will is submitted to the will of God. George Mueller. How many of y'all have heard of George Mueller? Oh, a lot of y'all. He was a man of faith, a man of prayer, a godly man who had this incredible ministry among orphans. He decided he was going to trust the Lord, and his way of trusting the Lord was, I'm not going to ask for money. I'm not going to try to get people to give to me. I'm just going to start this ministry and trust God to provide. He cared for over 10,000 orphans in his lifetime. That's quite something, isn't it? And he never asked for money. God provided. And listen to what he says about decision making. He says this. He says, I seek at the beginning to get my heart into such a state that it has no will of its own in regards to a given matter. So here's this decision in front of him. And he says, I try to get my heart into this state where I don't, in my heart, I don't want to go do one thing over the other, in a sense. I want God's will. He says, 9/10 of the trouble with people is just here. 9/10 of the difficulties are overcome when our hearts are ready to do the Lord's will, whatever it may be. In other words, he's trying to get his heart into a posture where I want your will over my will, ultimately. I met my wife in Colorado while I was in seminary. And when we were first getting to know each other, we'd go on a date every week. That was our way of getting to know each other. And at the end of each day, a date, before I would drop her off at her home, we would stop the car somewhere, and I would lead her in prayer. We would pray together. And one of the key things we would pray about every single week for months was we were submitting our relationship to God. In other words, we were saying to God, we wanted to say it out loud together, Lord, we want your will over our will. And in a situation like that where you really love this young girl, you love this guy, and your emotions can get stirred up. But it's really important. Even there, you submit your will to the will of God. And there's a lot of comfort in that, because the Lord led, and she's now my wife. And I have great assurance that the Lord gave her to me. Why? Because I submitted it to his will. That makes sense? So you submit your will to the will of God. Many times, we might think that we're struggling with guidance, but if we're being honest, we're actually struggling with obedience. Sometimes it's clear what God wants you to do. You just don't want to do it. Think about Jesus here. I'll give you one more illustration from Jesus' life. Jesus was faced with perhaps one of the hardest choices anyone has ever faced. And here was his choice. Option one, he could pray to his Father. This is right before the cross. He could pray to his Father, and the Father would send 12 legions of angels. That's 72,000 angels to beat up the Romans, rescue them, and get them out of there. And he knew it was an option because he mentions it, right? He mentions it. But option two is he could obey the will of his Father. He could be arrested, falsely accused, tortured, nailed to a cross to die. And all the physical sufferings, but the physical sufferings were not all of it. He could drink that cup of sin and take on himself the wrath of God for you and for me. But for Jesus to obey, he had to submit his will to the will of God. Where does he do that? He does it in a garden. How does he do it? On his knees. In that garden. But think about what Jesus says there in that garden. And it's really helpful to me. I hope it can be helpful to you. He says, if possible, let this cup pass from me. So he's honest with his Father. I really don't want to drink this cup. I don't want to take the sin of humanity on me. I don't want to go to that cross. It's hard for him to face that. But then he says what? He submits his will to the will of God. He says, but not my will, but your will be done. And so you could pray the same thing. Father, I don't want to go to that school, but I want your will over my will. Father, I don't want to take that job, yet not as I will, but your will be done. Father, I don't want this hardship in my life, but not my will, but your will be done. So step number one, submit your will to the will of God and do it again and again and again, whatever the situation. Step two is really, really important. And it goes along with step one, is you pray, pray, pray. You pray again. And I put that word three times because I don't want you to think of it just like a passing, oh, Lord, lead me, and then you move on. But you pray and ask the Lord for wisdom and guidance. Make sure that you're actually praying. You've got big decisions. Y'all are at an age where you're going to make a lot of decisions in your life in the next 5 years. Lots of big decisions. Pray about them. Make sure you're actually stopping. Put your phone aside. Maybe get on your knees. Pray. Say, Lord, I want to do your will. Lead me. Show me what that is. That's part of acknowledging him in all your ways. You know, the Bible is full of great prayers for guidance. So pray God's word. Take God's word and use it to form your own prayers. Let me show you a few places I like to go. Psalm 25. I love Psalm 25. You could pray the whole psalm, but here's just two verses out of the psalm. Make me know your ways, O Lord. What a prayer. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truths and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. I want to do your will. Teach me your paths. Or Psalm 143:10, teach me to do your will, for you're my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. Do that for me, Father. Or Colossians 1:9, where Paul is praying for the church, and he says, and so from the day we heard, we've not ceased to pray for you, asking that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual understanding. And you can adapt that. You can say, Lord, fill me with the knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, because I want to walk in a manner worthy of you. I want to please you. I want to bear fruit. I want to glorify you. So you can adapt it to your prayer life. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Well, I lack wisdom. I don't know the way. I've got this option. I've got five options. I've got 10 options in front of me. I don't know the way. Give me wisdom, Lord. And God gives. He gives generously and without reproach. So pray God's word, but don't make him important decisions too quickly. The bigger decision, this is by way of principle, the bigger the decision, the longer you should pause and pray over it. So don't make important decisions too quickly. Now, sometimes maybe you don't have time, but if you have the option, you should spend time thinking, praying, applying God's word to your life. Think about Esther. Esther made the big decision to go into the presence of the king. And you remember the story. No one was to enter the king's presence unless they were summoned by the king upon pain of death. And so what does she do? She's making this big decision that could mean the end of her life. And she decides to pause for 3 days and pray and fast. And not only does she pray and fast over that, but she asks all the Jews to pray and fast with her before she goes into the presence of the king. I would just say this. Do you want to be assured that you are in the will of God? Do you want to have that assurance that you're doing his will, that you're pleasing to him, that you're walking in his path, that you're right where he wants you to be? One thing, at least for me personally, that has led to assurance of being in the will of God is prayer. Praying over it. If I know that I've prayed adequately over a decision, then I have assurance that he's led me That makes sense? I've acknowledged him, and he has led me. All right, so submit your will to the will of God. Number two, pray, pray, pray. Saturate the decision in prayer. Third, you're with me? You're following along? So we're moving through these steps. Apply the clear teaching of the Bible to the decision. Now, this goes along with what we were talking about yesterday, that the Bible has everything you need to know what God wants you to do. God has revealed his will to you in the Word of God. And because of that, it's important that you spend time in the Word and that you meditate on the Word, that the truths of the Bible become more and more the grid through which you view all of life. You think of it as having glasses on or shades on. Let the Word of God be the more and more the shades, the glasses through which you look at life and you make decisions. Let it shape your thinking. Colossians says that the Word of God should dwell richly in us. It should permeate our inner being. And I believe the more you study the Word and the more you understand God's ways and his thinking and his thoughts, and you think his thoughts after him, the easier it'll be to make godly decisions. All right. What kinds of questions does the Bible encourage us to ask? Remember, we talked about yesterday, God's goal for us is what? Let me just ask you that question. The objective. Remember God's objective? We have to embrace God's objective. What is his objective? What did we say yesterday? God's objective for you. Like, our objectives can be like, often we're encouraged to have objectives like have fun or make a lot of money or be important. But what is God's objective? All right. Daniel always, holiness. And we said holiness looks like, do you remember that? And who can remember that? Holiness looks like Jesus, right? So God wants to shape you and make you more and more like Jesus. And so some of the questions and the things that God is concerned about has more to do with your attitude, has more to do with your motivations, your character, than it has to do with where you live or what kind of job you have. He's concerned about heart issues. And so here's some questions that we can ask that come from the Bible. And I'm pulling these from a book by Sinclair Ferguson, Discovering God's Will. So if you want to go deeper into this topic, you could pick up this book. It's a small little book, and you could read. It could be helpful to you regarding the will of God. So here's some questions you can ask, biblical questions you can ask. First, is it lawful? You have this question in front of you, this decision in front of you, and the first question you could ask is, well, is it even lawful? Is it even within the bounds of God's moral law? Is it okay? Is this even right? Or is it wrong? Any decision that will cause you to break God's law is wrong, and you shouldn't do it. It's black and white. If someone encourages you to steal, if someone encourages you to murder someone, like, that's wrong, right? If someone, you know, if you're encouraged, if you're tempted to disobey your parents and dishonor them, like, that's wrong. Black and white. Maybe you're invited to watch a movie that you know has certain sexual scenes. The Bible says, don't look at a woman. Don't, and that also means don't look at a man. Don't do it. Don't go. Okay? Just say no. I won't go there. Okay. Let's say you feel attracted to a guy or a girl and they're not a believer. The Bible says pretty very clearly, don't marry an unbeliever, which I think implies don't date an unbeliever. You say, well, I might win them for Christ. Or I have a really good feeling when I'm around them. Live by the Word of God. If you want to experience the freedom that God has for you, the fulfillment, the joy, the blessing he has for you, learn to conform your life within to the Word of God, to the will of God. And I would just say, God is not trying to rain on your parade. He's not trying to be mean to you, but he has set us free. Really, God is trying to protect you. He's trying to protect you from what will destroy you. And so submit your life to his will. Is it lawful? Secondly, ask yourself the question, is it helpful to me? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. So maybe you've looked at this decision and you say, well, it's not morally wrong. So it's lawful, but you can ask yourself the question, will it benefit me? Will it be beneficial to me? Will this course of action help me or will it enslave me? Will it be unhelpful to me? I like what Ferguson says. He says, there may be nothing wrong with it, but there may be nothing right with it either. There may be nothing right with the action. And so ask yourself the question, will it strengthen my relationship with Jesus Christ? Will this decision strengthen me spiritually? Or will it consume my time and energies in such a way that I'll end up spiritually poor? So ask yourself that question. You might ask yourself that question about friendships. You may have a friendship that's draining you spiritually, that's actually pulling you away from the Lord, that's not moving you towards the Lord. And you may need to pull back from that relationship. You might think about certain recreational activities. I like to watch a good YouTube video. Do you like to watch a good YouTube video? Yeah. There's a lot of great YouTube videos that are not morally wrong, right? They're great videos. But if you're watching 4 to 5 hours of YouTube every day, you might start to ask yourself the question, is this beneficial to me in my walk with the Lord? Does that make sense what I'm saying here? So is it helpful? All right, let's keep going. Is it helpful to others? So you don't want to just stop at asking the question, does it benefit me spiritually? But we are called to live for others as well. Will it benefit others spiritually? Godly decisions are not selfish decisions. And Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And therefore, if you're going to make godly decisions and you're going to be like Jesus, you're going to think in that way too. You're going to think about, if I make this decision, what impact will it have on the people around me? How will it help them? How will it benefit them? Will it promote their relationship with Jesus Christ? Will it lead them away from God or to God? Now, you can make decisions. You can make choices that you feel you have a freedom to make, but you know that it will lead your peers down a bad path. Does that make sense? There are areas of life that are like that. Paul talks about them in terms of even things we eat, things we drink, things we do, places we go. Maybe you have you feel like you have a conscience, your conscience is clear, you have a freedom to do it, but you know that it might lead someone else in the wrong direction. And the Bible says you should abstain from that yourself. So think about others. All right, what's another question we can ask about decisions? These are decisions, these are questions the Bible encourages us to think about. Big picture questions. Here's a big picture one. Am I seeking first God's kingdom? This is Jesus tells us to live this way. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. This is in the context where he says, you know, everybody out there, they're worried about what they're going to eat, what they're going to wear, what, you know, they're worried about their lives, their present lives. They're anxious. But he says, you don't need to be anxious about all those things. You focus on my kingdom. Focus on doing my will, my reign. Well, what is the will of God? What does God want you to be doing? Seek first his kingdom. Let's put some feet to that. Matthew 28 puts some more feet to that. Seeking first the kingdom is go, therefore. Jesus, this is Jesus speaking to his people before he ascends to the Father, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you. Is this what your life is about? You can ask yourself that question. I've got these decisions to make. What am I going to do with my life? Is this a driving force informing your decision-making? Now, this doesn't mean that you have to become a pastor or be a missionary. Now, the Lord may call you to full-time Christian ministry. You might be a landscaper. You might be a nurse. You might be you can be all sorts of things and live this out, right? Seek to make disciples. Seek the kingdom of God. Here's a big final question you can ask. Can I do it to the glory of God? Paul in Corinthians says, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Can I do it for God? Can I do it and whatever it is you're thinking about doing, can I do it and represent God on the earth? Show God to other people. It's a good question to ask yourself. Now, the Spirit of God wants to apply His Word to your life and to your decision-making. He wants to do that. And we just talked about some big picture questions, but the Bible also says a lot of things about very specific. You know, if your decision has to do with relationships, the Bible has a lot to say about relationships. It has to do with work. It has a lot to say about that, or money or other areas. So study the Word of God. Study what it has to say about the area of life you're thinking about. Does that make sense? And ask the Lord to apply it to your life. Now, why do you do this? Why do you submit your will to the will of God? Why do you pray? Why do you search the Scriptures to say, okay, Lord, how do I apply this to my situation? Why do you do that? Because you want to live out Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You want to trust in the Lord with all your heart. That makes sense? Let's say it together without looking at the screen. I mean, I'm not going to put it up. Let's see if you can say it, okay? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your step. See, I learned a different version, so I'm going to throw y'all off. Steps, paths, okay. He will direct your paths. Good job. All right. Let's go to the next step. This is one that I think is important. Gather information. Analyze the pros and cons of each decision in light of the Bible's teaching. Now, what I'm encouraging you to do here is use your brain. Use your mind. God gave you a mind. Christianity is not a religion that encourages you to check out mentally. It's not you becoming an automaton, a robot, where you just do whatever God says to do and you just do. It's one where you use your mind. Listen to these two verses. Walk as children of light and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Now, if you're going to try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord, you're going to have to engage your mind. Okay, where it says a few verses later, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We're not to lean to our own understanding, right? That's what the verse said. We just said it together. But that does not mean we are not to use our understanding. Okay? We're not to lean to our own understanding, but that doesn't mean that we're not to use our minds, especially a biblically informed mind, and in a spirit of prayer and dependence on God. So, let me give you a quote. Here's a quote by Sinclair Ferguson. He says this, guidance, knowing God's will for our lives is much more a matter of thinking than feeling. Don't make decisions just based on your feelings. That's probably not going to serve you very well in the long run. Use your thinking, especially a biblically informed thinking. Note that this step comes after the submitting to God's will, the praying, and the studying of the Word of God. Does that make sense? So your mind is full of the Bible, and now you think and you ponder. And maybe you write some things out. I like to journal. I like to sometimes make a pros and cons chart. F.B. Meyers talks about this. For the most part, he writes, God will speak in the results of deliberate consideration, weighing and balancing the pros and cons. Have you ever seen a pros and cons chart? I'll throw one up here for you. You may not be able to read details, but years ago, I was pursuing a master's degree, and kind of in the middle of that master's degree, I kind of was like, I'm not sure I should be doing this, and I paused. I put it all on pause, and I just prayed. I was like, Lord, should I keep going with this master's degree, or should I stop? And this is not what I should be doing. And to help me think through it, as I was praying, and I was studying the Word of God, and I was committing it to the Lord, I drew up this chart, and you can kind of look at it. It's got positive and negatives, and it's got my two decisions. Do I continue the master's, or do I stop the master's? And I lay out different ones, and I got some advice from some godly people, and I ended up continuing and finishing the master's degree. But it was helpful to work through that. So, step four, put your thinking cap on. Maybe write some things out. Analyze the decision. Step five, ask counsel from older godly people in your life. Ask counsel. Ask for counsel. Proverbs tells us to do this. Where there's no guidance, people fall. But in an abundance of counselors, there's what? Safety. Proverbs 12, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Proverbs 15, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. So advice is something good. Godly, if you want to make godly decisions, invite people to speak into your life. That's a good thing. Now, I place this towards the end of the steps because really, advice should never replace everything we just talked about. You need to seek God. You need to pray. You need to look at His Word, right? And you should not expect other people to make decisions for you. Now, when you're younger, your parents do. But as you get older, and as you leave the home, you're going to have to make decisions. You're going to have to trust the Lord. You're going to have to take steps. Don't expect other people to make, don't put that burden on them. But advice can be hugely helpful. And it can confirm things you're already thinking about, praying over. And it can help you in decision making. So as you're getting advice, choose people older and wiser than you. Beware of simply getting advice from your peers. Solomon's son Rehoboam is the typical example of this. Do you remember that story? Solomon's son, he ignored the advice of the older men in the kingdom, and he just listened to the guys that were his age, and he lost the kingdom because he made a foolish decision. And you can read about it in 1 Kings. So choose people older and wiser than you. Choose people who know God and who walk with God. You want to make godly decisions. And generally speaking, godly advice will come from godly people. I'm not saying that unbelievers can give you some real wisdom sometimes. But by and large, I would say get advice from godly people. Someone who's walked with God longer than you have. Someone who has experience taking the Word of God and applying it to situations. More experience than you have. So choose people who know God, walk with God. And third, choose people who know you. That's helpful at least. If you can choose someone who knows you personally, who understands your situation. They know what makes you tick. They know your personality and your background and your temperament, your struggles. They understand you and they're able to help you make that decision and give you advice. They might actually see something in you that you're blind to. You might not see it at all. And they might see something that you can't see, and that's hugely helpful. All right. You're with me so far? These steps, you submit your will to the will of God. You pray, 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 pray. You open the Word of God. You see what it has to say, how it bears on your decision. And then you think. You write some things out. You go get counsel. Can you give me some advice? I've got these options in front of me. I can go here. I can go there. I can do this. I can do that. Help me. Can you give me some advice? Speak into my life. And finally, you have to make a decision. You have to make a decision. But make a decision being willing for God to redirect you. God expects you to make the decision. You make decisions. That's the way life goes. Most of the time. Now, sometimes God, it feels like God's making a decision. But most of the time, you're making a choice. You made a lot of choices today. Before you ever got here, you're making those decisions. But hopefully by this time, you have more clarity as to which direction to take. But I want to be realistic. You have maybe you've walked through all these steps, and you may be at this point in the step program here, in a sense, and you may still have not a clue which way you should go. Maybe it's still 50-50. You're not really sure if this is the will of God or this is the will of God. That's very, very possible. You might have to make a decision without having an absolute assurance as to which way is the will of God. Let me just tell you that. That happens. You with me? You might have to take a step without knowing which is the will of God. Absolutely. But don't be discouraged. Because if you've done what I'm talking about here, If you're trusting in the Lord with all your heart, if you're acknowledging Him in all your ways, what does it say? He will what? He will direct your steps, your paths. You might not know the will of God, but you can still make a godly decision. You with me? You might not be absolutely sure, but you can still make a godly choice. God is a good shepherd. I don't believe it's easy to miss the will of God. I don't think it's that easy. I think you have to purposefully ignore God. You have to refuse to submit to God. You have to ignore His Word. And you could do that. And you can miss the will of God. In a sense, you can choose to go against what God is asking you to do. But I don't think it's super easy. On the other hand, I'm absolutely convinced. I want you to listen to me really carefully here. I'm absolutely convinced that if you're trusting in the Lord with all your heart, you're submitting your will to the will of God, you're praying over it, you're seeking to know the will of God, you're studying the Word of God, you're acknowledging Him, I am convinced that it is impossible to miss the will of God. God's a good shepherd. The burden is not on the sheep to figure out the way. The responsibility is on the shepherd to lead the sheep. And if you're a sheep who's saying, I want to be led by you, God, He will lead you. Isn't that wonderful? He will guide you. He will show you the way. So make a decision. Move forward. And as you move forward, expect God to lead you, to direct your steps. Keep your hands open. You know, like, Lord, I could go this way. I'm not sure, but I'm going to go this way. I've prayed over it. I've sought counsel. I'm going to go this way. You start going this way. And you say, Lord, lead me. If this is not the right way, redirect me. God has a billion ways to redirect you. It's not hard for God. If God wants you, I mean, I tell my students this sometimes. If God wants you in Uganda, in 5 minutes, that's not hard for God to do. You remember what He did with Philip in the book of Acts? You go read the book of Acts. He took Philip and He just picked him up and He put him over here. Boom. He just moved him. Like, that's not hard for God to do. He can put you right where He wants you to be. So don't worry. He will lead you. What's our verse? Let's say it together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and he will direct your paths. This is at the very heart. These verses are at the heart of godly decision making. It's a relationship of trust in God. You're turning to him. If you're turning to him and you want his will, he will guide you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time this morning. Thank you that you're a good shepherd and you want to lead us. You want to show us the way in which we should go. Teach us to make godly decisions in our life. Teach these young people to do that. Show them how to live, how to for this to be a pattern in their lives that they follow. We ask you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.